This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series this month called Kingdom Powers. Amen. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but there are two kingdoms operating on this planet. Amen. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. That's the reason why we have a hard time at times, because the devil's out here and he wants to rain on your parade. Do you believe that? So, you know, that's why we have to have faith. Why? To fight the good fight of faith. Because the devil is not taking any prisoners. Amen. He's trying to take each one of us out. Amen. And I'm not talking about to lunch. Amen. He's not trying to take us out to lunch. He wants to eat our lunch and pop our bag. Amen. So glory to God. So we're talking about really embracing the kingdom of God and what makes the kingdom of God work and what makes the kingdom darkness thrive. And what we want to do is we want to, you know, be strong in what makes the kingdom of light work and then shun away from what makes the kingdom of darkness work. Amen. And sometimes as Christians, we can walk in the dark at times, but we don't need to. We don't have to. And you can walk in the light. Amen. And so I love this in Matthew 6:33, Amplified. It says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. All these things will be given to you. Amen. So really, we're called to really put God first in every area of our lives. Somebody say God first. And when God is in proper order, everything else will come in order in our lives. Have you ever been trying to live this life without God? Just kind of doing your own thing, running your own game. And have you noticed chaos starts coming into your life? And then when you start getting God back in your life, guess what happens? Order starts coming in. Peace starts coming in. The grace starts coming in. Glory to God. I love that. And so it's the key to walking in the kingdom of God. And I talked about this in my first message, is humility. Amen. And we know that the devil operates in pride, and pride is bad. We don't want to be walking in pride. Amen. And pride, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we don't want to get prideful. We don't want to think that we got it all together, because you don't. Amen. The only one that has it all together is Jesus, and he's helping us get it all together. Amen. Amen. But we're in a, somebody say, I'm in a process. I'm getting better. Amen. You're in a process and you're getting better. Amen. And then I like this. So pride will cause a person to go down. Amen. But humility will cause a person to be raised up. Because it says in James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So we see that pride will cause you to fall. Humility, God will raise you up. In other words, God's looking to promote some of us. So I'm going to say this, the more humble you become, the more usable you become of God. Amen. The more humble you are, the more God can use you. Amen. The less humble you are, the more prideful you are, the less God can use you or promote you or bless you. And so the second week, we talked about greed versus generosity. And, the human nature is selfish. Have you noticed that? And, you know, the human nature is very selfish, and we can be tempted with a spirit of selfishness at times in our walk. And sometimes greed will try to work in a believer's life. Amen. And so we talked about this last week that really you need to overcome greed by being generous. Somebody say, I'm a generous person. Now, I know some of you have to say that by faith. Amen. But we are generous people. Amen. And it's God's love that causes us to be generous. Last week, I talked about one of the keys to killing greed or selfishness out of our life. And that key is called the tithe. Now, I didn't focus too much on the tithe. I just kind of hit on it just a little bit. But the tithe means that you're giving God, now brace yourself, buckle up, means that you're giving God 10% of your income. What? That means if you make $100 a week, you give God $10. Does that sound like a lot? $10 out. That means if you make $1,000 a week, you give God $100. That means if you make $10,000 a week, you give God $1,000. I think you're getting the better end of the deal. That means God is saying you can keep 90%, but I just want you to give me 10%. And I'm telling you this, that God is looking to bless us. God is looking to bless your life. Amen. And so he wants you to give your first and your best. In Malachi, it says in Malachi 3:8, it says, will a man rob God? And he's talking to the people of God. Malachi is prophesying to the people. He says, you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? They weren't even aware that they were robbing God. And they said, in tithes and offerings. So this is the thing that I like to interpret this way. We rob God of his ability when we don't tithe to bless us. I'm going to say it again. We rob God because God wants to bless us. God is in the blessing business. Do you believe that today? He wants to bless your life more than you want to be blessed. Do you believe that today? And so he encouraged us in Malachi 3:10. He says, bring some of the tithe. There you go. All the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. What does that mean? That means you're going to have to get a second bank account. That means that God wants to bless you so much that the money is FDIC insured for $250,000 for a bank. But when you have more than $250,000, you got to get a second bank account so your money can be insured. Am I talking to anybody today? So what is God doing? He wants you to have two bank accounts. Why? So he wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. So he says here, bring the tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse would be the local church where you receive your feeding. So when you get spiritual feeding and God is changing your life and God is protecting you and God is bringing you out of some bad issues and areas of your life, you want to sow into the church so that you can be blessed. Amen. So you can be blessed. Amen. And this is amazing. And he says this, there's only one place in the Bible you're never supposed to test God. But there's only one place in the Bible where he says, try me, test me. I challenge you to do this tithe thing and watch what I will do in your life. I will do something amazing. God wants to bless your life. I'm going to say this, that since I started tithing 2 weeks ago, no, I'm kidding. Since I started tithing many years ago, I started tithing. And I tithe, and some people say, I can't afford to tithe. I'm going to say this, you cannot afford not to tithe. I tithe when I was in debt. I went through some hard times in my life. I had to go move back in with my mom. Anybody can relate. And I was 28, moved back with my mom, and I was in debt to credit cards, amen. And I was in debt, and I had all this debt. But you know what? God saw me through that. God blessed me. I ended up going to Bible school in debt, and I was able. God opened a door for me for a job. He opened blessings for me over at Rhema. I went to Oklahoma, and God blessed me when I came out to Oklahoma. The job that I was in paid for my expenses to Oklahoma, glory to God. And then God filled my apartment up. Somebody asked me if I needed stuff. Three people filled my apartment up. I didn't ask anybody for anything. I didn't try to get anything from anybody. They just asked, you're new in the area? I got furniture. You're new in the area? I got this. And all of a sudden, my apartment started getting filled up. God can supply the need. Where God leads, He feeds. Where God guides, He provides. Do you believe that today? And then before I left school, because I was thinking I was going to be staying in Oklahoma. I was going to set up a ministry there. And then God called me back here for you guys. Amen. I wasn't planning on coming back to Virginia Beach. But God said, I got an assignment for you to come back to Virginia Beach. And at that time, I bought a house. God blessed me with a house, blessed me with a partner to buy a house, another single guy, that we were able to pull our resources together. Isn't that awesome to have God connections? Where you can pull your resources together. I was in debt. He wasn't. I made some good money. He made some good money. And we bought this duplex together, glory to God. By the time I left, I had that duplex rented out to renters and getting positive money cash flow. God, I came empty but left full. Amen. Glory to God. God is awesome. What am I saying to you today? God can provide the need if you give Him the opportunity. If you just go ahead and say, I'm just going to do this tithing thing. I'm going to do this honor thing. I'm going to honor God. And if you honor God, God will honor you. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. So I love that. So I'm going to give you just some blessings of the tithe. If you are a tither, God says He will bless you with overflowing blessings that you cannot even contain. Number two, it says that God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That means that you'll be totally divinely protected from losing stuff. Amen? Number three, God will cause the fruit of your labor to be blessed. That's awesome. So whatever you do, God will bless you in it. Amen. Amen. I love that. Whatever you put your hand to will prosper. Amen. Can somebody say amen on that? Amen. Whatever I put my hand to will prosper. God will bless the fruit of your hands. Do you believe that today? And God will cause your life to be blessed where other people will see the blessing on your life. That's amazing. People will be saying, man, do you know that America, that there's many people that want to move to America? There's people that are trying to get to the borders and trying to get into our nation. Why? Because we're a blessed nation. People aren't trying to leave this nation. People are trying to come into this nation. And why are we a blessed nation? Because this nation was built on Christianity, was built on Jesus, glory to God. We have more churches in America that sends out more missionaries than any other country in the world. So America's blessed because God is on America. That's the reason why in our money, I believe our money is the only money or currency in the world that says, in God we trust. That's powerful. That's powerful. That means that we put our trust in God, and then everybody wants our currency in their nation, glory to God. It's the reserve currency of the world. Why? Because God has blessed this nation. This nation is blessed. If you live here, you need to be thankful. I'm thankful for the blessings that I have in America. And I approve this message. Amen. Now today I want to focus on fear versus faith. The devil's number one weapon against the believer is fear. Acronym of fear is false evidence appearing real. Amen. I like what Paul said to Timothy. He said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Now, if you want to take the word fear and break it down to another level, you could say worry. Because most people say, I'm not in fear. But are you worrying? But if you're worrying, you're in fear. Amen? And the Lord doesn't want us to worry. Amen? Pray about everything and fear nothing. Amen. Amen. So you pray about everything and you fear nothing. So the devil's number one weapon against a believer is fear. The devil uses fear against us to keep us from doing the will of God in our lives or to corrupt the will of God in our lives. So the devil will try to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And what God wants you to do is not bad. Sometimes God wants you to maybe start a business, maybe do something different, maybe go witness to your neighbor, whatever the Lord wants you to do. And a lot of times it's fear that's keeping us back from doing what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. One of the greatest fears that the devil puts on believers, are you ready for this? Are you locked in? Is the fear of man. The fear of man. Do you know the number one, I believe I heard this, that the number one fear in America is public speaking. Is getting up in front of a crowd and speaking. Amen. And so that is, and they say dying is number two. Public speaking is number one. Amen. So most people don't want to get up and talk in front of a crowd. Amen. Can I get a testimony? Can somebody come up here and give me a test? No, I'm kidding. And I remember that even before I became a minister and started talking for a living. Amen. I talk for a living. And before I did that, I used to be in your seats. And I remember when the pastor would say, anybody have a testimony? And like the Holy Spirit said, get up there and give a testimony. I'd be trembling like a leaf. Oh, no, man, there's too many people out here. Glory to God. I'm going to say this. Really, people aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are.
Amen.
That's a good one. People aren't really thinking about you like you think they are. They're really thinking about what they're going to eat for lunch. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? People aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. That's the number one. The number one person that's on people's mind are themselves. What they're going to do. How they're going to, what they're going to do for the day. Amen? So I like this. Let me give you some scriptures talking about fear. And it says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. In Proverbs 29:25, it says, fearing people is a dangerous trap. This is a New Living Translation. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting in the Lord means safety. So it really, really, what really matters is not what people think about you. It's what God is thinking about you.
Amen.
Now, when you put your trust in God, and you're putting your trust in God, God is thinking very highly of you. Do you believe that today? God thinks highly of people that put their trust in God. Do you believe that today? Amen. So my question to you today, are you putting your trust in people, or are you putting your trust in God? And I'm going to say this. I'm going to put my trust in God. Now, I'm not saying don't trust people, because you have to work with people. You're going to have to deal with people. You're going to have to give them a measure of trust. But don't give them ultimate trust. In other words, don't think that they're going to be like Jesus and never make a mistake. Because people will make mistakes. Amen? So the Lord, so I like this, because we got to put our trust in God. And I like what it says in Psalms 118, verse 6, working our way down. It says, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? I love that. Then he goes on and says, yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look triumphant over those who hate me. Yes, sometimes you will have haters in your life. Sometimes you have people that won't like you, but that doesn't matter, because God loves you.
Amen.
Amen. So don't worry about the people. Don't be concerned about the people that don't like you, because God will bring good people around that will love you.
Amen.
I'm glad I got a loving congregation that loves me. Amen. Glory to God. And it says in Psalms 118, 8-9, it says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses. And so sometimes we put our trust in people. Pastors can do that. Pastors can put their trust in the numbers of people that show up on Sunday morning. If that number doesn't hit, the pastor gets nervous. Amen? But you know what? The pastor doesn't need to put his faith in the numbers. He needs to put his faith in God. I'm preaching to myself today.
Amen.
I'm preaching to myself today. Because God is my source, and the church isn't my source. You're not my source. God's my source. Amen. And so I'm going to say this, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God's going to get the blessing to me regardless of what's happening in the church. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen. You're blessed to be a blessing. So we see here that we know at times people can let us down. Has anybody ever let you down in your life? You said my spouse just this morning, right? And then some people, have you ever had friends that abandon you? Have you ever had people that abandon you or left you, amen, high and dry? Have you ever heard that? They left me high. I don't know what that means, high and dry, but they left me high and dry. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they treated me. Yeah, but God's treating you much better, amen? And then have you ever had anybody turn against you? Amen. I got a laugh out there, amen. Sometimes you have people that you know, think about this. Jesus had people turn against him. And Jesus walked in love. I mean, think about Jesus. I mean, the perfect one, right? I mean, if anybody should be sold out to Jesus, never do anything bad for Jesus, because Jesus always did good to people. Jesus had people abandon him. Jesus had Judas betray him. Think about this. Jesus had it all. He had all this, but you know what? The Bible says Jesus knew what was in men's hearts, and he didn't put his trust in men, but he put his trust in God. And you got to put your trust in God no matter how man is treating you. Say, I'm trusting God. Amen. And so I'm going to say this. Point number one, God will never let you down, but he will bring you up in your time of need. God will never let you down, and he will bring you up in your time of need. In other words, he will get you out of your problem. Do you believe that today? In Psalms 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So what's the key? Well, the key is when you're encountering a trial or a tribulation in your life, seek the Lord. Amen. Don't run from him, run to him. Amen. Don't run to your fix. You know, some people have a fix. What do I mean by that? Well, they run to something that they meditate or medicate their problem. It could be alcohol or drugs, but run to Jesus. Amen. Even Christians can do those things, amen? Amen? But run to Jesus, because those things are temporary, you know, fixes, but long-term misery. Amen. Do you believe that today? Number two, God will never abandon you like people will do at times, amen? I like what it says in Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you. I love that. God is going before you, and he will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What is the devil trying to do? He's trying to discourage some of us. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to be encouraged. Glory to God. And then God will not turn against you at times, even when you are lacking faith, because he is faithful in keeping his promises. Have you ever been out here, and have you ever been in a trial of your life, and you felt like that you weren't going to make it? I think all of us have been there. And your faith has been getting rocked. Has your faith ever been rocked out here? I'm not talking about rock to sleep, amen? I'm talking about getting a little unsteady. Have you ever been unsteady in your faith? Well, we know we've all been there at times, but where faith doesn't get you there, God's mercy will. Amen. So where we can't get it with faith, God's mercy will come into our lives. Do you believe that today? And I like what it says in 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. What's that saying? That sometimes we're not as faithful as we need to be. Sometimes we're not doing it all right as we need to be. But even if we're not, God remains faithful anyway. Because God cannot deny himself. I like what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's faithful who's called us into fellowship. Amen? And so this is key because God initiates the fellowship with us, glory to God. So we have to put our trust and hope in God and not people, because people will let you down. Amen? When I'm dealing with fear in my life, and every once in a while, yes, even the pastor deals with fear every once in a while. And when I'm dealing with fear, I lock into some scriptures. I want you to focus on these scriptures here. It says here in Isaiah 41:9, because I think these scriptures that I like can be your scriptures as well. Because the devil's going to try to put fear on some of us at times in our lives. In Isaiah 41:9, it says, "You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest regions, and I said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and I have not cast you away." Amen. I love that, because God has chose you and He has not cast you away. Not only this is Old Testament. So you can go to the next level. We're not just servants of God, and we aren't. We serve God, but we're sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today?
Amen.
So He chose us to make us sons and daughters. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Amen? Glory to God. So I love that. So the devil, when he puts fear on us, let's hone in on 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you." Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand."
Amen.
Glory to God. I remember that. Jesus. That scripture came to me. I remember that I was back at Rhema, and we had this called this preaching workshop. And what it was that they would have you preach in front of your classroom. And I did bad. I didn't do that well the first time I preached. They had you do it twice the second year. Some of the people, they had to strap them to the chairs to keep them from falling over. Amen. Of fear. Amen. Because it's fearful sometimes. And when you haven't done something and you're in front of people, you get nervous. Amen. And so we developed this preaching workshop. And I remember we had like five or six people that we had to do a little preaching for 15 minutes in front of our colleagues. And I remember that it was my turn to do it on a Friday night. And we had it at a home. And I was nervous, and God gave me this scripture: "Fear not, I am with you." Amen. Amen. So whatever fear that you're dealing with, it may seem small to you, but it can be big to somebody else. Your fear might, somebody else's fear might be small to you, but to you it can be gigantic.
Yeah.
Amen? And the devil wants that fear to be gigantic in your life. So fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So this tells me that God will strengthen us and help us in time of need and uphold us in our trials of life. Now, let me make this statement. Don't put your faith in your ability to hold on to God, but put your faith in God's ability to hold on to you.
Amen.
That's a good statement. Don't put your faith in your ability. God, I can hold on to you. Oh, I'm holding on. You know, sometimes we say, "How are you doing?" I'm holding on for dear life. Amen. I'm holding on. No, don't put your faith in your ability to hold on. Put your faith in God's ability to hold you.
Amen.
In other words, we must shift our faith from our effort to God's power on our life. I remember that there was a story of this military operation with the Navy, and I believe it was on a carrier, and they had these hot air balloons that they were showing off to the people. And one of the hot air balloons got unlatched from the carrier. And there were people that were assigned to guard that hot air balloon. And three or four people, they had ropes on this hot air balloon, and it started going up. And they were trying to hold it down. And all the men went up with the hot air balloon. And as that balloon started going higher and higher, the men are dangling on this hot air balloon. And it's going 100 feet, 200 feet, 300 feet. And the people are watching. And they're saying, "Oh, my Lord." And then the guys start dropping to their deaths. Except for one guy. And that guy was hanging in there. And they kept going higher and higher. Now it's 1,000 feet, and they're all watching. The crowd's watching. They're waiting for this man. They said, this man must have an awesome grip. This man must be holding on for dear life. They were able to get another balloon up to get that guy. They were able to get this guy to rescue him. And when they got to that balloon, they found that he wasn't holding on to the rope. When that balloon came up, he took that rope, wrapped it around him, tied it, and he was just sitting back looking at the view. What am I saying to you? I'm saying you need to take the rope of faith. And you don't need to be holding on to the rope of faith in your life. You need to let that rope of faith hold on to you. And when that rope of faith holds on to you, you just sit back and enjoy the scenery. Can I get a witness in the house today? And that man made it. That man was the smartest man there because he understood grace. Grace is God's rope of life holding you to the balloons of life that will try to take you away from the people of life. You believe that today? And so I want to focus on to this account of King Saul. And King Saul had some issues. Anybody know about King Saul? Amen. And he had some issues, and King Saul lost the kingship. He lost his kingship. He lost his place in God. And let's just look at this story and find out why he lost it. Amen. Because if we can find out why he lost it, you won't lose it. Amen. Because I want each one of you obtaining all the highest that God has for you. And I don't want you guys forfeiting any good that God has for you. And so it says now, 1 Samuel 15:10-11 says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried the Lord all night. So the Lord revealed to Samuel that Saul was disobeying God, wasn't obeying God. So in verse 12, so when Samuel rose up early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel saying, Saul went to Carmel. Indeed, he set up a monument for himself, and he's gone out around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. And so we see here that Saul, he was so lifted up in pride, he was building monuments to himself. You got to be careful when you start setting up statues in your house for yourself. Amen. Because when pride comes, the fall comes. Don't start patting yourself on the back and thinking that you're all that and a bag of chips. Amen. You're not all that and a bag of chips. God is all that. Amen. And so Samuel confronts King Saul about his sin. And what Saul was supposed to do was he was supposed to take out the army of the Amalekites. He was supposed to destroy everything, and all the sheep and the oxen and all that was supposed to go for sacrifices to the Lord. And the king decided to hold on to all that stuff. And Saul said to Samuel, and then he said, because Samuel confronts him, and in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Sometimes when we half obey, we say, oh, but I did obey God, partially. You know, partial obedience is still disobedience. Oh, I'm going somewhere. I know I'm stepping on toes this morning. Partial obedience is the same as disobedience. But I obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission in which the Lord sent me. And I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And King Saul deflected his sin on the people when he was in charge. Amen. He said, it's the people. See, sometimes we want to blame the people when we really need to look at ourselves. Amen. And then here, so Samuel said, has the Lord, in 15:22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, or is obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, sometimes we'll say, Lord, I won't do this. I know you want me to do this, but I'll give a bigger offering. You know, just giving a bigger offering doesn't discount being disobedient to the Lord. Amen. And he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Think about this. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you from being king. Now, we're going to focus on this. This is not a good story, by the way. This is a learning story. It's something that we want to learn. See, you can read the Old Testament, and you can, and it's very straightforward and true. And God will tell off on his people. God's not going to just protect. Everybody's good in the kingdom of God. No, some people make mistakes, and they have to learn from their mistakes. And it's better to learn from other people's mistakes than from your own. I would say again, it's better to learn from other people's mistakes than your own. Then in 1 Samuel 15:24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Notice that? He said that I have sinned, and why? Because he feared the people and he obeyed their voice. In other words, Saul was a people pleaser. And if you can't be a people pleaser all the time and be a God pleaser at the same time. Because sometimes you're going to have to say no to people when they want you to say yes. Sometimes people, maybe your old friends, that may want you to go out to a club and you say, I'm not going there anymore. Sometimes you might have to say no, not because you don't like them, but you've decided not to go down that road. In other words, you want to honor God over people's opinions. Amen. The key to overcoming fear of people is to honor God above people's opinions. Amen. Jesus put it this way. When people were afraid to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, you know there's Christians out here, and there are Christians that are saved that are afraid to witness for the Lord. There are some Christians that are afraid to tell or even tell people at their work that they're a Christian. Why? Because they don't want to be persecuted. They're afraid what people might think of them. But I'm afraid of what God might think of me if I don't declare God. Amen. I'm not worried. See, listen, you're not going to stand in front of those people on Judgment Day. Yes. You're going to stand in front of God. No, you're not going to be standing in front of those people. Amen. You're going to be standing in front of God. And God, and I want that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Yes. Not, you know, you obeyed me. You cared about what I cared about. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen? So Jesus put there were people even in Jesus' day that were afraid to talk about Jesus. In John 12:42-43, it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Many believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Wow. Listen, we can't love more the praises of people than the praises of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? To get rid of fear of man, we must love the praises of God more than we love the praises of people. Another fear that people will have is they have fear of the devil. Listen, just because somebody says, I'm throwing a hex on you, you can laugh at them. Just because somebody may worship the devil or say, I'm going to curse you. Can I give you a clue here? What God has blessed cannot be cursed. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Don't worry about people speaking negative about you, because it's going to bounce off you and stick on them. You're rubber, they're glue. Bounce off you and sticks. Is that right? And so it's just going to boomerang back on them. Why? Because you're blessed. And there was an Old Testament where the king wanted to curse the people of Israel. And the Israelites could not be cursed because they were blessed. The number one reason why you shouldn't fear demonic powers is that the devil is already a defeated foe. He's defeated. And I love this because Jesus, he revealed the defeat of the devil when he walked around on planet Earth. It says here in Mark 1:34, then he, talking about Jesus, healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons. Jesus cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. So what did he do? He cast the demons out, and he shut them up. What are you called to do? You're called to cast demons out and to shut them up. Because they will try to speak to you. Have you ever had some dumb devils try to speak to you? Tell you you're not going to make it. That you're at the end of your rope. That there's no use. You might as well give up and throw in the towel. Have you ever heard these things before? Well, that's the devil trying to discourage you. And you got to cast him out and shut him up. Amen. That's the best thing you can do. Cast him out. Say, cast him out and shut him up. Amen. And the scripture that Jesus gave power to his disciples as well. In Luke 19:1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. One of my favorite scriptures is in Luke 10:19. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So it was a two-hit fight, God hitting the devil and the devil hitting the ground. Amen. It wasn't this big battle, you know, that lasted for eons. And finally, God won. No, it was God said it and that did it. Glory to God. The devil dropped like lightning that day, talking about his fall. Amen. And so he was defeated twice. The devil was defeated when he tried to conquer God in heaven. And he fell like lightning, and he was defeated when Jesus defeated him in hell. We're going to talk about that for a second. It says, behold, I give you authority to trample serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Over the enemy. In Jesus' name. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus went into the heart of the earth, and he went into the heart of the earth for 3 days. When he went to the cross, he paid for our salvation. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And in Colossians 2:15, when he was in hell for 3 days, it says in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphant over them in it. So Jesus went down to hell to parade over the devil. Is that awesome? And then Revelation 1:18 says, I am that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Glory to God. So the devil's been disarmed, stripped of his power over the believer. And Jesus took the keys of death and hell from the devil. And guess who has those keys? We have those keys. Say, I have those keys. And so we shouldn't feel fear as a Christian. We should never fear death, and we should never fear hell. Glory to God. I'm going to say that again. As Christians, we should not, when the devil tries to give you this report where you're going to die, great, I'm going to be in heaven soon. Glory to God. But don't give up, because there's more for you. So you fight the good fight of faith and say, no, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. You overcome the death fear words by speaking faith-filled words. Amen. Another fear that the devil puts on people is fear of the future. Have you ever had afraid that you weren't going to make it till tomorrow, that life is going to be hard and all that? The fear of the future. And we overcome the fear of the future by believing that God is working on the best plan for our life. One of my favorite scriptures about standing on the future promises of God's blessing for us is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Notice that, a future and a hope, Gloria. That's not just talking about going to heaven. Most people say, well, yeah, when I finally get out of here and I'm done being beat up, I'll get to heaven. No, God doesn't want you beat up down here. He wants you beating up the devil down here. In other words, he's not coming back for a busted, broke, beat up bride. He's coming back for a beautiful bride without spot or wrinkle, full of love and faith. You believe that today? And we're the ones that taking the devil out. He's not taking us out. You believe that today? I love this in Job 8:7. Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. Somebody stand on that scripture. Maybe you're in a humble situation right now. Maybe you're just enough, but God is bringing you into more than enough. Though your beginnings may be humble, so prosperous will your future be. Somebody says, I receive that. And then I love Psalms 27, 13, and 14. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Glory to God. So we kept this message to overcome the fear of man. The key is to honor God above people's opinions. To overcome the fear of the devil, the key is to understand that Jesus took the keys of death and hell and gave it to the church. And we can exercise authority over the devil. Amen. The key to overcome fear of the future is to trust God that he's working in our future to cause us to be blessed in the future ahead. And if you receive these keys, I believe you'll walk out of fear and walk in faith every time. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love today. I thank you, Father God, for these precious people out here listening, watching, and perhaps you've never made a faith commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if you want to receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, just confess this prayer after me and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your love. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church so you can grow in faith. If you're here locally, we'd love for you to come out and be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that you can grow in your faith and become all that God's called you to be.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.